right. Praise God. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 and verse number 23. Amen. It's good to see everyone's smiling faces in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's a busy season, busy time of year. It's also a time for a lot of people to be sick. Amen. So we need to lift each other up in prayer. Amen. And if we are sick, we need to give each other a virtual handshake so that we don't spread this. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Amen. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it with everything you've got, as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Let's pray tonight and let's ask for God's help in this service. Lord Jesus, God, I thank you for your word today, God. I thank you, Lord, your word is anointed already, Lord God, but let it rest upon every heart, Lord God. Let it speak to every situation and every need in this house, Lord God. Give us ears to hear your word, God, and hearts that would understand it and apply it to our lives. God, we'll be sure to give you all the glory and honor, God. We'll be sure to give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I don't plan on teaching a long time, but I do want to talk about something that God laid on my heart. And this is actually kind of a second part, if you wanted to look at it as a series. I'm not much of one for series. Pastor is awesome at doing series. He can go for 10, 12, 14 weeks on one subject and something great and awesome every single time. If I go two services that even somewhat resemble each other, I'm doing pretty good. So, but I did use this scripture a couple weeks ago when we talked about giving. And we talked about doing so in secret. Amen. Giving in secret. Tonight I want to cover another area in Matthew chapter number 6 that the Lord provides for us in order for us to better understand why and how we do the things that we do in living for God. So we talked about giving a couple weeks ago, and we talked about when we give that we're not supposed to let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. But we do so in secret. We give in secret. We don't give so that other people can see us. We don't give so that we get accolades or recognition from man. But we give because we have a desire to give. We give because that's what God has called us to do. And we know that our reward doesn't come from man, but our reward comes from God. Amen. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the next area I want to talk about. Matthew chapter number 6 and starting with verse number 5. Turn there with me tonight. Matthew 6 and verse 5, kind of picking up right where we left off talking about giving. Matthew 6 and verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest," we're going to stop right there for just a second. Amen. Notice again, and if you look back when it talks about giving, it says, "When you give, do this." And notice it says, "When thou prayest," or "when you pray." It doesn't say, "if you pray." Amen. Prayer is not something that is something we can take it or leave it. It's not something that is optional, if you will. But the Lord told us, "When you pray." Amen. That's something that we have to do. Amen. Prayer is something that is essential. I've heard it said many times that if we do not pray, we're not going to make it to heaven. Amen. And I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. If we are not praying, we are not going to make it to heaven. Amen. This isn't because our salvation is based upon the amount of time that we spend in prayer, or because God is going to love us less based upon how much we do or don't pray. But the reason that we would not make it to heaven, because without prayer, we're going to drift farther away from God. Without prayer, we're not going to be able to hear His voice. Without prayer, we're not going to have that open line of communication with Him. Amen. Prayer is just that. Prayer is communication. Amen. Prayer is something that is essential for a Christian and for someone to walk with God. Amen. Without praying, we become more carnal. Amen. Without praying, we allow ourselves, if we go a long period of time, when we're not praying and we allow ourselves to become more carnal, then we are more apt to give in to temptation. We're more susceptible to the enemy trying to attack us. Amen? We allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to get a hold of us, and we begin to lose track and lose sight of what's important. Amen. Prayer is essential for us to make it to heaven. Amen. Prayer is more than just talking to God. Amen. And that's what prayer is. It is talking to God. But that's the part I think that we think about the most is when we talk about prayer, we think about what we say. Amen. When we pray, we think about what we're saying to God. God, I need this. God, I want you to do this. God, can you do this? Can you work this out? God, I need you to. And we say a lot of things when we're praying. Amen. But prayer is more than just us talking to God. Prayer is a communication. Prayer is a time where we can consecrate ourselves and dedicate time set aside that we can have a communication with God. We talk to God, yes, and that is important. But we also need to realize that in prayer, we need to be able to hear from God as well. Amen. If you will, we need to stop talking long enough that we can hear God speak to us. Amen. And God will. And you know what? It may not be in an audible voice. It may not be in a voice that comes out of heaven that you're going to hear. But God will speak to you. God will drop a thought into your mind or a scripture sometimes into your mind. And He'll begin to deal with you about something. Amen. God works through prayer. Amen. Prayer is our communication with God. And just like you communicate with your husband or your wife or your friends, communication is a two-way street. Amen. Most of us probably know somebody, and maybe somebody comes to mind whenever I say this, but somebody that likes to talk and doesn't like to listen a whole lot. Amen. Somebody that likes to say a bunch of stuff, but they don't like to give you a whole lot of time to talk. And if you do start to talk, they interrupt you and they cut you off and they start talking about something else. And most of the time, those type of people, they start talking about something else about themselves. They don't start talking about something else about you or something else that, you know, about something else going on, but they start talking about themselves. Amen. And, you know, we can, if we're not careful, we can get this way when we pray and when we talk to God. We can start talking to God and we can tell Him all about our life and all about our day and all about our needs and all about our desires. And never once do we, I know this may sound funny, but never once do we ask God how His day is going. Never once do we ask God, God, what's your will? God, what do you desire? Amen. But instead we say, God, I desire this. Amen. Prayer is a time for us to talk to God, but we need to be able to listen and to hear what God would have to say to us. Amen. It's a time when we can shut out all the cares of life. Amen. And we need that. Amen. If you work on a job, if you go to school, you know that we get bombarded with things that are trying to vie for our attention, things that are trying to pull us in a million different directions. We need a time when we can get out the cares of life. We can shut them out and the distractions, amen, all the things that bombard us on a daily basis, and we can steal away for a private time with our God. Amen. It's important. Amen. It says, when you pray, continuing on in verse 5, it says, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Amen. Our prayer life should not be an outward one only. Amen. Please, please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying anything negative about collective prayer. There is definitely a time and a place, and it's biblical. There's a place for coming together as a church, coming together as a group of people, two or three individuals coming together and praying with one another and lifting up their needs and their requests together before God. Amen. I know that when I have a need, it's reassuring to know that I'm not the only one that's praying about it. Amen. Whether the person is right there beside me or whether they're praying at a different time altogether, if I know somebody else is praying about that need, there's a peace that comes with that because I know that, you know, there's more than just one person talking to God about the situation. Amen. There is definitely a time for collective prayer or praying shoulder to shoulder with others. Amen. But we should not only pray because other people are. We should not only pray at the same time that other people are. Our prayer life should not consist of Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night, 30 minutes before service. Amen. That shouldn't be the entirety of our prayer life. Our prayer life should not be just whenever pastor calls a church-wide prayer or whether we come together as a group in a prayer meeting. That should not be the entirety of our prayer life. But we need to have a prayer life that is separated, that is personal, that is private. Amen. Amen. We aren't doing this for other people. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if we pray together all the time, and that's the only time that we talk to God, we have to start questioning why and what we're doing. Amen. We're praying to draw closer to God, not to draw closer necessarily to one another. Amen. We're praying not so that people can see us. Amen. We're praying so that we can touch God and so that we can draw closer to God. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "But thou," that means you or me, "that thou, when you pray, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Amen. We all need alone time in prayer. Amen. Amen. Why? Well, you know, there's things that we can talk to, God about in a collective setting. When we come to church and we pray before service, there are things that we can talk about to God in that setting. But there are things that we need to talk to God about that we don't want anybody else around. We don't need anybody else to hear. It's that secret time of prayer where we can talk to God about the most intimate details of our lives, everything that's going on in our lives. And we don't have to worry about anybody else hearing. We don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks. We don't have to worry about what other people are going to think whenever they hear me say this or being misunderstood. Amen. But there are times, and I know that you've experienced this, but there are times whenever you're in your personal prayer life, you're in your personal prayer time, that you can pour your heart out to God. And you can just begin to spill your heart out, spill your guts out to Him and tell Him, say, "God, this is what's going on. God," and you know what? This is the best time for submission. This is the best time for repentance. This is the best time for admitting your faults to God. Amen. Nobody wants to hear somebody across the way praying, talking about all their faults. You know, I don't want anybody else to know my faults. They know enough about them already. Amen. And I don't want to know about anybody else's faults. That's your secret prayer life. Amen. That's the time that's dedicated to God when you're talking to God about the intimate details in your life. "God, I've fallen short in this area. God, I need your strength in this area. God, I need your help in this area." And you know what? Those are the times whenever you can lift your voice and you can cry out and you can weep and you can wail and you can shout before God and you can just touch God in such a mighty way. Amen. You know, we can have good prayer when we come together. We've experienced it. Amen. When we all come together in one mind and one accord and we all have our focus upon God and worship and praise unto God, you begin to feel the presence of God moving. Amen. But that's not the only time when God moves. You can have that in your personal prayer closet. Amen. You can have that move of God when nobody else is around and when nobody else is listening and nobody else is going to know how long or where or what you are praying. Amen. But it's your secret prayer life. Amen. The only people that know about it are you and God. Amen. Amen. Keep your fingers there in Matthew chapter 6. Amen. But turn with me tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter number 69 and verse number 13. It says, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation." Amen. Amen. We all need time alone with God. Amen. That means time away from your husband or your wife, time away from your children, time away from your friends. Amen. It's alone time with God. Amen. I can tell you from my own personal experience, the best prayer meetings that I've ever had was when no one else was around. Amen. The best touches of God that I've ever felt was whenever I was just able, when I was able to lay everything out before the Lord, and I didn't have to worry about anybody else hearing it. Amen. I didn't have to keep my voice low. I didn't have to keep my voice muffled. I didn't have to bury my face against a wall so nobody else would hear me. Amen. I'm not trying to hide anything. Amen. Every one of us has something, things in our lives that we, you know, we talk to God about, but we don't talk to everybody else about. Amen. And I'm not even talking about sin. I'm not even talking about iniquity. But I'm just talking about there are personal things that we talk to God about that we don't talk to everybody else about. Amen. And there's a time and a place for it. When we come to service, when we come together and we worship and we talk to God, pre-service prayer, that's not a time to pour all of those things out to God. That's reserved for your personal prayer time. When we come into the house of God, those things, we need to take care of those before we get here. Amen. And when we come into the house of God, our focus should not be upon ourselves and what we can get, but our focus needs to be upon God. Our focus needs to be upon worship. Our focus needs to be upon a move of God and God touching somebody and God filling someone with the Holy Ghost, God healing somebody's body. Amen. A mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the service, that particular service. Amen. My Wednesday night prayer before service is not going to carry me all throughout the week until I come back on Sunday. And my Sunday prayer is not going to carry me throughout the week until I come back on Wednesday. But I need to be praying between those times, personally, privately. Amen. I need to be talking to God. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 7. It says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Amen. It says, don't use vain repetitions. Amen. You know, it's kind of funny, and we're all guilty of it. I'm not making fun of anyone. I'll make fun of myself, if anything, okay? But we've all done this before, where we're talking to God. And if you ever really think about how you're praying, think about the words that you say. How many times do you say God? How many times do you say Lord? Is it because of we run out of words to say? We run out of things to pray about? Oh, God, touch this. Oh, God, touch that. Oh, God, can you do this? Oh, God, can... And we say it. We don't talk to people like that. I don't say, oh, Nathan, how are you doing? Nathan, how was your day? Nathan, how do you do this? Nathan, what did you do today? Nathan, what did you do in school today? Nathan... I know that's kind of funny, but sometimes that's how we talk to God. We say God 35 times in one sentence. Amen. When we talk to God, we talk to God as if he's our very best friend and he's standing right in front of us. Amen. Now, we don't bring him down to our level. Don't misunderstand me. He is high and lifted up. Amen. He deserves our worship and our praise. Amen. We need to come before him with submission, and we need to come before him with reverence. Amen. We don't need to bring him down to our level. But we also don't need to just use vain repetitions. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. As if God doesn't hear us the first time. Amen. Or we pray about a situation and we continually, you know, we should take it to God again in prayer until God decides to meet the need, but we don't just continually use the same words and vain repetitions. Amen. It says, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. We're not just using words as filler to meet a quota or to meet a predetermined amount of time. Amen. We feel like we have to keep praying until that time is up. Amen. That's not what prayer is supposed to be. Did you know that God is more interested in quality than he is in quantity? Amen. I'm going to say that again. God is more interested in quality in prayer than he is in quantity. Amen. I believe that with my whole heart. We need to pray long enough to be able to touch God. And you cannot put a number on that. Amen. You may be able to touch God in 10 minutes. It may take you 2 hours. Okay? But we have to be willing to pray until we touch God. Amen. We need to be able to set aside enough time, and whatever that may take, for us to touch God. If you can get everything, all the junk out of your mind, and you can focus in and you can touch God in 20 or 30 minutes and get everything out that you need to pray for, and every need, every person that you're trying to pray for, and all those that are sick, and every need, if you can get those taken care of in half an hour, God doesn't look down on you because you didn't pray for an hour or 2 hours that day, because you touched God. But if you look at it at the flip side, if we pray for an hour and we never touch God, then we're meeting a quota. Because, and we're, I keep saying this, but we're all guilty of it. We pray and we're distracted. We pray and we've got things in our mind, and we look at our watch and 3 minutes have passed. And we keep praying. And you know, sometimes that's okay. I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but it's got to go beyond that. It's got to go beyond just a quota. It's got to go beyond just checking your watch every 5 minutes to see how much closer you are to the end of your prayer time. It's got to come to a place where you're touching God and you're not worried about the clock. You're not worried about the time. You're not worried. You're worried about touching God. And I'll tell you, from experience, a lot of times you'll touch God a lot faster if you're not focused on the clock. You'll touch God a lot more effectively if you're not so worried about everything else that's going on. Amen. God is interested in the quality of our prayer. Amen. Like I said, it may take an hour, it may take 30 minutes, but the only person who is going to know if we've been effective in prayer is us, because we'll know. You'll know if you're effective in prayer. You'll know if you've touched God, and God is going to know. God's going to know if we were effective in our prayer. God's going to know if our prayers touched His throne, or whether we were just speaking them and they were falling out into nothing. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Turn there with me tonight. James 5 and 13. It says, is any among you afflicted? Is anybody here afflicted? Amen. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Amen. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Amen. The prayer of faith, I want to look at that verse real quick. The prayer of faith says, shall save the sick. Amen. You know, when we pray for the people that are sick, it's not just saying, God, I know that you're able to heal this person. God, I'm pretty sure you can do this. Or God, you know, this is pretty big, but I think you can do it. But it's saying things like, God, thank you for healing this sickness. God, we claim your healing right now. God, we give you glory because we know that you're working in this situation. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, shall heal. Amen. And it's not by anything. It's not an individual. It's not a person that does it. Amen. It says, you know, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders and let them anoint him with oil. That is essential. That's Bible. Amen. But there's nothing special about the elder, or even necessarily about the oil, but it's faith. It's believing God. It's using that means for God to heal somebody. Amen. Healing doesn't come through a man. Healing doesn't come through individuals. Healing comes from God. God uses men. God uses elders. God uses the ministry to anoint with oil and so that he can heal. But it doesn't lift up the ministry. It doesn't lift up man. God is the one that gets the glory for it. Healing comes from God. Amen. It goes on to say, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Amen. If you look up that in the original, effectual means effective. Amen. It means producing the desired result. Amen. When we're praying, what's the desired result? Amen, that we touch God, that we get closer to Him, that we hear His voice. Amen. We're being effective in our prayer. We're producing the desired result. The word fervent means to be active or to be efficient. Amen. Amen. To be active and efficient. Effectual, fervent prayer is not just a take it or leave it attitude. No, fervent prayer, effectual, fervent prayer is the type of prayer that says, you know what, I've got to touch God no matter what it takes. No matter how long it takes, I've got to get an answer from God. I've got to touch heaven. Amen. I've got to touch the throne of God with my prayers. God has got to hear my voice because I need this need. I need this situation. I have this situation that I need to give to God. I need an answer in this. Amen. That's the type of prayer that God wants us to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. When I think of this, I think of Jesus. Amen. When he went to pray alone, amen, away from his disciples. Luke chapter 22 and verse 41, turn there with me. I'm going to use the chalkboard. Don't think I forgot about it. I didn't just put it up here so you guys can think I was teaching. Luke 22 and verse 41, it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Amen. That's what I think of when I think of fervent prayer. The Lord gave us an example of fervent prayer. He prayed so heavily that drops fell of sweat, fell like great drops of blood. Amen. I wonder, when was the last time that we prayed until we sweat like that? When was the last time that we got so engrossed in prayer that it caused us to break a sweat? I know we do it in worship, and we do it, you know, we do it when we're singing and we're dancing before the Lord, but what about in prayer? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. Amen. If you read those, you know, I've heard people say, I've talked to people about this scripture, and people might say, you know, well, that was God. God was the one praying that, and, you know, that's how God prayed. God did it as an example to us. Amen. If you read those verses, you can see that this was Jesus' humanity praying. This was his flesh speaking. This was not the God that dwelt inside of him. But he was saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. That was the man praying. God, I don't want to go through with this. God, I know that this is going to be painful. God, I know that this is not something I desire to do. God, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But then he goes on and he says, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. God, it's not what I desire, it's what you desire. Amen. He does this as an example to us. He teaches us how to pray. Amen. And if his flesh can pray like that, then I believe that ours can too. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, turn back there with me tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, the Lord teaches us how to pray. And it's not a pre-determined, pre-recorded, quotable type of prayer. Amen. This is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But it's not something that we just repeat again and again and again. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day. That's not what he's talking about. He said, after this manner, where therefore pray ye. And this is, and he gives us an example. Amen. And this is what I was taught. I was actually taught this when I first got in church. And when we pray, there's an order that we need to pray in. We don't have to say these exact words. No one's going to teach you the exact words to pray. That's between you and God. But when we pray, there needs to be an order to how we pray. Okay? Let's read it. Verse 9, it says, Our Father, which art in heaven. Let's stop there for a second. So when I was, and I thought this was a really good way of looking at it, but when I was taught this, it's kind of like a letter. And you're writing a letter. You're writing a letter to somebody. So Our Father, okay? see if we can keep it from moving. Okay. So when we write a letter, we address it to somebody. Dear God, our Father. And then it goes on in verse 9, and it says, which art in heaven. Okay, we know where he's at. He's not down here. He sits upon the throne. He's in heaven. And it says, hallowed be thy name. So as we start out this letter, we start out the letter with praise. And worship. Okay, so we start out our letter with praise and worship. We start out our letter talking to God and giving Him praise. It's not just a letter, but we're talking about prayer. When we pray, that is how we're supposed to start out. All of us are guilty. All of us have fallen short in this. We come to God and immediately we begin to pray. And the first thing that comes out of our mouth is, God, I need this. Because that's what's in the forefront of our mind. That's what we're focused on. God, I need this. God, I need your Spirit. God, I need your presence. God, I need the Holy Ghost. God, do you understand where I'm going with this? But it says, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven. God, who's in heaven, hallowed, that means holy, be thy name. And so we start out our prayer in worship to God. God, you're righteous. God, you're holy. God, you're great. God, you're faithful to us. We lift Him up. We get our minds focused upon Him. Amen. Whenever we're focused upon somebody else, it makes it harder for us to focus upon ourselves. Amen. So this is how we start our prayer. We get our minds off of ourselves and we get our minds on God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Amen. It's the same way when we come together for prayer before service, we focus on praise and worship. Amen. We're trying to create an atmosphere where God would feel welcome. Amen. Our prayer life, in our personal, in our secret prayer life, we need to create an atmosphere where God would feel welcome. Amen. Where God would want to come down and meet with us. Amen. Before we go any further, that's what we need to do. Amen. Verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Submission. This is another part of dying out to ourselves. This is another part of getting our minds off of ourselves. We're not focused upon ourselves. We're not focused upon our needs. Not yet. Amen. We're getting our mind upon God. We give Him worship. We give Him praise. And then we go on, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, whatever you desire for me. Amen. If you're praying for a specific need, submit to God's will first. Before you ever ask for the need, say, God, whatever your will is in this situation, God, I give it to you and I trust you for it. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. His will, not my will. Amen. Denying ourselves. This is denying ourselves. This is getting out of ourselves and saying, God, I want what you have for me, not what I want for myself. God, you know more than I do about this whole situation. God, you see it from a different vantage point. God, and you know what's best for me. Amen. It really isn't as important what I want, but rather what God's will is in my life. In my situation, whatever He desires. Amen. It's important that we get this out of the way in the beginning of our prayers because it ensures that we are seeking for the right things. It gets our focus on God and not upon ourselves. Amen. By submitting our will to God, we are acknowledging that He knows so much better than we do. Amen. And that's what I want. I want whatever God has for me. I want whatever God desires. Amen. Verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. So this is where we begin to ask God for the things that we need. Provision. This is where we ask God to provide for everything that we need. The Bible says that God knows our needs before we call them up to Him. That doesn't mean that we don't need to pray for Him anyways. Amen. That's not, we don't just need to have the mentality or the attitude that, oh, well, God knows what I need. I don't need to pray about it. No, God wants to know how much you want Him to meet that need. And so we have to call it up before Him. We have to talk to Him about it. God, I desire Your will. This is what I've got going on. But we can go back and forth there. We can go back from provision to submission. Because God, I want You to provide my need, but I want You to do it in Your way. I want You to do it in Your will. I want You to do it how You see fit and in Your time. Amen. If we keep God first, amen, then going into that provisional stage, that place where God provides for our need, we understand that God has our best interest at heart and that His will is better than our will. Amen. Notice I said our needs and not necessarily our wants. Amen. The Bible does tell us that God wants to give us the desires of our heart. But amen, we need to make sure that the desires of our heart line up with the desires of His heart. Amen. We want what's best for us if it's God's will. Amen. And God wants what's best for us in His perfect will and plan for our lives. Amen. Sometimes God will tell you no, and you may not understand why. Sometimes God will close a door and you may not understand the reasoning, but just give it some time. I've come to find out in the short time I've been living for God that God will reveal it. And when you look back at it, eventually, maybe not right, maybe not the next day, maybe not a week from now, but when you look back at it, that God is going to reveal to you why He did that. And you're going to thank Him for it. And you're going to be thankful that He closed that door, that He didn't allow you to go in the way that you thought in your mind you wanted to go. Amen. Provision. Okay, verse number 12. It says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Amen. So after provision, forgiveness. All right. Forgiveness. Now, I think it's interesting that it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us. Another word for our debts is our faults. Amen. Forgive us our faults. I think it's very interesting that we're already halfway through our prayer before we come to the place of asking for forgiveness. Amen. Why is that? Well, amen. Even when we come to God and we've messed up, we've made a mistake, we've fallen short of the glory of God, even when that happens, our first instinct is to come to God and to fall on our face before Him and say, God, forgive me. God, I repent. And it should be. But we need to keep this formula, we need to keep this thought process, if you will, whenever we pray. And we need to get our focus on God first. Amen. God's worthy of our worship even when we make mistakes. God's worthy of praise even when we mess up. We may not feel like we are worthy to praise Him. We may not feel like we're worthy to give Him worship. Amen. But we need to get our focus on God and off of ourselves. We need to submit to His will. Amen. We need to give ourselves over to Him. So when we come to God and we ask for forgiveness, amen, we need our focus to be upon God and rather than us and our faults. Even when we desire the forgiveness and the mercy of God, we still need to start out by putting God first, and our focus needs to be on Him. Amen. Notice here the qualifier on forgiveness that we receive is the forgiveness that we give out. It says, forgive us our debts as, that word as means in the same way or in equal measure. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So forgive us our faults as we forgive those that have had faults against us. Amen. This is humbling. Amen. If we think about it. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Turn there with me tonight. Mark 11, 24. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, When ye pray, notice again it says when, it doesn't say if. When ye pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand fast or praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So it's saying when you're standing there praying, forgive. If you're standing there talking to God and maybe you're thinking about something that you messed up on, that you need to forgive. Forgive if you have something against anybody, that your Father which is in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. Notice it doesn't say forgive those that you like. It doesn't say forgive those that you agree with. It does not say those that deserve forgiveness. But it says if you have an ought against anyone. Amen. You know, we've been forgiven of so very much. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you were pretty good when you came to God, but I know that I've been forgiven of a whole lot. Amen. And it's not right that I should withhold forgiveness from anyone. Amen. Especially our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one mind and one accord. They were in unity. Amen. And that's God's desire. God desires for us to be in unity. Amen. That doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything. But it does mean that we have to understand that we're all in this together and that our focus is not necessarily upon one another, but our focus is on God. Amen. If you're lining up with God and I'm lining up with God, then we're at least agreed on one thing. Let me put it that way. We may not have a lot in common. We may not see things completely eye to eye. But when it comes to the things of God and the Word of God and the revelation of His truth, amen. We see those things together. We see those things the same. Amen. Verse number 13 says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sorry, going back to Matthew chapter 6. It says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. So this is where we pray for protection. And if you think that you don't need to pray for protection, go ahead. But you need to pray for protection. You need to pray for God to strengthen you. You need to pray that God would not lead you into temptation and that He would deliver you from evil. You need to pray that God would strengthen you, that God would help you, that He would keep your eyes pure, keep your heart pure, keep your spirit pure. Amen. You need to pray that God would help you to keep yourself saved, to keep yourself full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we pray so that we can draw closer to God. We pray so that we can feel after His presence, but we also pray so that we can stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And so that God can change us through His Spirit and that God can deliver us from evil. Amen. If we're staying full of the Holy Ghost, there's certain things that we do not have to worry about. There's certain things that they don't have as much effect on us. Amen. Amen. Deliver us from evil, from all this world tries to throw at us. Deliver us from ourselves. Amen. Amen. Deliver us from the desires of our flesh. Deliver us from anything that would distract us. Deliver us from anything that would push us farther away from God. Amen. Those are the things that we need to pray for. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Turn there with me. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Our flesh is weak. Amen. You don't believe that? Just stop praying and see how long it takes you to become carnal. See how long it takes you to become weak. I'm not advocating that to anybody. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'll tell you what, if you're not praying, you're gonna see yourself drift back to the carnal. You're gonna see yourself drift back to the fleshly things and the fleshly desires. Amen. The things that would pull us farther away from God. Amen. We have to, you know, prayer is not something that we're forced to do. Prayer should be something that we desire to do out of our own heart. Prayer should be something that we desire to do, not because somebody tells us we have to, but because I want to draw closer to God.
That's right.
I want to feel His presence.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be saved. I want this old flesh to be killed out, to die out. Amen. And I want to be renewed in His Spirit. Amen. That's why I pray. Amen. We end our prayer, the prayer that the example that He gave to us, reaffirming just how powerful and how able and how mighty God is. So after all of these things, we go back to praise and worship. And that's how we end it. That's our signature, if you will, on our letter. All these things that we've prayed to God, we go back to Him. We start out talking to God. We start out lifting Him up. We start out worshiping Him. And at the end, we're doing the exact same thing. We're giving Him praise and worship. We're thanking Him for answering our prayers and for hearing our prayers. We're thanking Him for giving us protection. We're telling God just how powerful He is. We're lifting Him up. Amen. Because when we lift somebody else up, we come down. Amen. We don't lift ourselves up, but we lift God up. Amen. Amen. Two more scriptures tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 18. Turn there tonight. Ephesians 6 and 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Amen. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Prayer is absolutely essential in our walk with God. Amen. I know Pastor's been talking about prayer a lot, and I agree. I think that we need to be praying. We need to be praying people. We need to be a praying church. Amen. If people are going to come here, they need to be able to feel the presence of God. They're not going to feel God's presence. God's not going to come down and meet with us if we're not praying. Amen. If we're not praying, we're going to be carnal. There needs to be something different about the children of God. There needs to be something different about His church. Amen. Amen. Prayer isn't something that we do that benefits God, but prayer is something we do that benefits us. It helps us to draw closer to God. God's already perfect. Amen. He's changing us to be more and more like Him. Prayer is for our benefit. Amen. It helps us. It strengthens us. Amen. It allows us to draw closer to God so that we're able to hear His voice. Amen. And by hearing His voice, He's able to change us. Amen. There's a song we sing. He's changing me. Amen. My blessed Savior. I'm not the same person that I used to be. Amen. It's been slow going. And some of you can say amen to that. I can say amen to that. It's been slow going. Amen. But little by little, He's changing us into His image. Little by little, He's changing us to be more like Him. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. And why don't we lift our voices, amen, and lift our hands to God. And let's pray one more time tonight. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love You today, God. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness today, God. You're faithful to us, Lord. God, You're good to us, Lord. And we give You the praise that's due unto Your name, God. We give You all the glory tonight, God. Lord.
Lord, we love you today, Jesus. God, we want your perfect will. God, let every situation, every need be met in this house, God. God, we love you today, Jesus. God, fill this house with your glory. Fill this house with your presence, God. Help us, Lord God, to draw closer to you, God, in prayer. To draw closer to you, God. Lord, to have a personal prayer life. God, a secret prayer life, Lord God, where we can call upon you, God, and hear your voice, God, and it can change us. God, we worship you today, God. We bless you today, God. We praise you today, God, for you're worthy of it today. In Jesus' name,
praise God, praise God. God bless you all. Amen. Quick announcement.